All right, praise the Lord on this beautiful August the 25th, Sunday, Lord's Day morning. I'm sure I hope that people are waking up this morning with their mind made up. They're going to go to the house of God. I don't know why in the world anybody would say we're going to go to church today. I believe that ought to be already made up in their mind.
Yeah.
That we're going. That's what Joshua said. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, the devil loves for you to go to his events.
Right.
He loves for you to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But I'll tell you what, God takes note when we do put him first.
Yes.
When we give him the preeminence, when we give him the praise, when we pray to him, he takes notice of that. And God always looks for a reason to bless us. He always looks for a reason to spare us what we deserve and give us what we don't deserve, which is grace, mercy, love, and kindness. But he's abundantly willing to do that. Reminds me of a parent with a young child trying to teach it how to walk. If it makes one step, the parent will run over and grab it and say, did you see it? It walked. It walked.
Yeah.
God's kind of like that. He just really loves us.
Amen.
But we ended last Sunday's Sunday school lesson. We ended at Proverbs chapter 3. I think we stopped at verse 25.
Yeah.
But I want to start on verse 25 and go on in this chapter here. But the Solomon here in Proverbs chapter 3, he says, be not afraid of sudden fear. And when I say sudden fear, a lot of things happen to people. And you can kind of see some of this in Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that been often reproved, that means someone that's warned, someone that's visited, someone that refuses any help. He that been often reproved hardeneth his neck. In other words, they don't want to hear it no more. They don't turn to listen anymore. They're stubborn. They're determined to go their way. It says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And that's sad commentary, but that's Proverbs 29, verse 1. The Bible here tells us not to be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And the Bible speaks a lot about fear. It tells us to fear not. In Psalms 91, I know I mentioned it last time, but I want to read a little bit of it so that we can know, praise God, the one that keeps us. He keeps us from the things that could harm.
Yeah.
Psalms 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Everybody's looking for a safe place. This is the safest place that I know.
Amen.
Psalm that said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. In other words, my safe place and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. You know, you can put your trust in your home security, or you can put your trust in your airbag, your seatbelt, or in the police, or anything else. But those that put their trust in the Lord, he says, verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. I thought if I was a soldier in the military and army, that I'd want to know this verse right here. Because I'm sure every soldier wants to come home in one piece, wants to come home alive. And God promises protection. I heard this, and I think I've got the place where I read this, that an Indian shot at George Washington 5 times, and he was afraid of him after that. And he told George Washington, he said, "I'm an expert shot." He said, "I shot you 5 times. And he said, "I became afraid of you. I knew you had God on you. I knew God was with you." And he actually ended up being a help to Washington, President Washington, George Washington.
Yeah.
But he couldn't believe. He said, "I shot at you 5 times. And he said, "I'm an expert shot." He said, "I never miss." That's kind of what God's talking about right here.
Yeah.
He said, "It'll not come nigh to thee." God is a shield. God is a buckler. Verse 8, "Only with thine eyes shall thou see, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." You know, these promises that God promises His children, they're not to the wicked.
Right.
And He said, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." I don't want no sickness. I don't want no devil.
No.
At prayer meeting last night, Brother Rick mentioned about this man, about his son that's in a penitentiary, and his grandson that's having problems with gangs and drugs. And he mentioned how tender-hearted this man was. He's weeping and crying, requesting prayer for his son and for his grandson. But the man said something exceptional. He said, "I know you're not going to believe this, but," he said, "my grandson came in one day, and," he said, "as I looked up at my grandson," he said, "I could see on his shoulder a devil, and the devil was laughing, and the devil was saying, 'I've got him, he's mine, and you're not going to keep me from destroying him.'" And he said, "I'm not giving up." But you know what? That really speaks volumes about what's really going on. We see in part, we know in part, but there's a whole lot more than what we see and what we know going on.
Yeah.
"But there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." These promises that God offers, you know, this verse here talks about sudden fear,
yeah,
desolation. And I see a lot of people consumed because they don't have that protection.
Right.
And I see it's not so with children of God. I do see some children of God that do graduate this life, but every one of them, kind of like Enoch, they leave a testimony behind. It's easy to do their funeral. Verse 26, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." God, He keeps our feet like hinds' feet from slipping.
Yes.
I'm glad that He's a strength, a buckler. Paul talked about the Lord stood with him and delivered him from the mouth of the lions there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm glad God stands with us whenever one forsakes us. And He said at my first answer, "None stood with me, all forsook me." He said, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me, and through Him I was delivered from the mouth of lions." Verse 27, "Behold, withhold not good from them to whom it's due, when it's in," "when it's in the power," "in the power of thy hand to do it." Now, the Lord kind of commented along those lines in Luke chapter 7. I thought about this when I looked at this. In Luke chapter 7, the Lord kind of spoke along the same lines of Proverbs chapter 3 here. And start about verse 5. So I'm not finding it here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the wrong place here. go back to Luke 5. Maybe I wrote it down wrong.
Oh, Luke 5?
Hold on a minute here. Luke. I ain't finding it. Wait on a minute. Maybe it's Luke 17 or something. Talking about rising up to the need of his neighbor. Hold on a minute there. I looked in a different Bible and I probably got this wrong. But he commented about, you know, what one of you, when your neighbor comes up and you're in bed with your children. Here we go. I think I found it. Here we are. It's Luke chapter 11. I did write it down wrong. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus here doing a teaching. And he says, which of you having a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. That's Luke 11, verse 5. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that openeth, him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I got the wrong scripture wrote down there. Luke 11, the Lord kind of spoke about what says there in verse number 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it's due when it's in the power of thy hand to do it. The Lord talked about love your enemies.
Right.
And to do good. And we probably fell miserably at this. Somebody said we love those that love us. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And those, let's see if I can find this real quick here. In Matthew chapter 5, give to him that asketh thee, verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them and curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil, on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just, upon the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Yeah.
Again, the Lord talking about what Solomon is saying here. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. We just need to be known of good works. We need to practice good works. A pastor mentioned about Ephesians chapter 2. We always dwell on the first verses 8 and 9, which says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he said nobody ever mentions verse 10.
Right.
Says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. We need to be known to have good works. This church has good works, and
yes,
I'm proud of that. I'm glad that it does. But Solomon here talks about, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. A lot of people, they're not good neighbors. Noah Brotman was telling a story about his father. And he said his neighbor and his father had ground that joined together. And Noah said there was one piece of ground down there. He said it wasn't fit to use for a graveyard. It wasn't fit for nothing. But the neighbor claimed it belonged to him, and his father claimed that it belonged to him. And he said there was such a disagreement between the two that Noah said he saw his dad get his knife, and he said, "You stay here, I'll be back." And Noah said that scared him. And the other neighbor had enough sense to leave. And Noah said, if he hadn't left, he said, my dad would have killed him. But that's kind of way, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Some people, they go to the extreme. Ron Paul, I think he's a senator of Kentucky.
Right.
Him and his neighbor got in a dispute over land or something. I never did really get it clear. But his neighbor attacked him, broke some ribs and everything. But, we're supposed to be a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor's neighbor needs to borrow something. Say, there, I've got one, you can use it. And that's really what God wants us to do.
Right.
One reason we want to do it is because everything in this world, we just use it. It don't belong to us. We come to this world with nothing.
Right.
The Bible said, and it's certain we're going to leave with nothing. But we're to be good stewards of all the things that God has put in our hand, not only to loan out or to lend, but to even to help our neighbor. There ain't nothing wrong with being a good neighbor, but
no.
A lot of people aren't good neighbors. A lot of people, boy, I believe in walls with some of them. Man, I tell you what, they're not good neighbors. I know they're really fighting the president about putting up a wall between us and Mexico. And let me just say this, I'm not trying to be political here, but Mexico's not a good neighbor.
No.
And a lot of people are coming in through what's called the Mexico Gate. And when I say coming in, they're not Mexicans. Some of them are Chinese. Some of them are Hezbollah. I heard this preacher preaching last night telling me what Hezbollah meant. He said in the Hebrew, the word violence in the Hebrew means Hezbollah. And he said there are Hezbollah coming in through the Mexico Gate. They're terrorists in this country. I didn't know this, and I'm always willing to learn, and I'm always wanting to learn, but I didn't know this. But they have terrorists here in America. And the name of one of the terrorist groups of America is called CARE. And you think about CARE being an organization trying to help people. He said, don't be deceived. He said, they're a terrorist organization. And he spelled out what CARE stood for. And he said, you're sending your money to people that are trying to kill you and people that are killing other people. And he said, that's why we need to be informed. We need to be made aware of what's really going on in this country. But he said, terrorists are coming in this country. Communists are coming in this country. Socialists are coming in this country. Gangs are coming in this country. And like I said, I'm full of walls when you got an evil neighbor. And you might need a wall to protect yourself from him. Verse 30 says, strive not with a man without a cause if he've done thee no harm. Let's look real quick to Romans chapter 12. And God does give us provision in the Word of God when there is an issue. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. We ought to strive to live peaceably with all men.
That's right.
Verse 18 says, if it be possible, and I'm glad God put that in there just like that. It's not always possible. But if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I want to live peaceably with all men. I don't want wars.
No.
I don't want troubles. But I have to admit, there comes a time when there has to be a war. There comes a time when there has to be trouble. And when it does, the Bible says if it's not possible, then you got to do what you got to do. That's kind of what this verse here is talking about. Strive not with a man, verse 30, without a cause. David, when he went up against Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? Goliath was threatening Israel. he was belittling, intimidating. His size was something 9 foot tall, and he was a man of war from his youth. Yeah. But David went down there and slew him, but there was a cause. It wasn't possible to live peaceably with those Philistines. They were picking a fight. They were bullying the children of Israel. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 12. Dearly beloved, and this is really the best case scenario if you can do this. Now, if a man is breaking in my house, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah, that's right.
I love my family.
Yes.
I love the Lord.
That's right.
But if he breaks in my house with intent of hurting me or my family, I'm going to give him the option to get out quick, and the second option is be carried out. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There are times when you have to put it in God's hands, and you have to say, the Lord, avenge me in this matter. And there are other times, I'll just be honest with you, verse 18 fits it better. I would like to live peaceably, but it's not possible, and I have to do the unthinkable, may even suffer the consequences of it. I've got some things to share today. One of them, a man had two young boys, and he posted an ad for a babysitter, and a 28-year-old gay man replied to the ad wanting to babysit his two sons, and the man realized he could not allow that, and he refused this man an opportunity to babysit his two sons, and now he's in the process of being sued for discrimination. In my opinion, he had enough sense to know better than do what I'd call unthinkable, right. And he had to take the matters into his own hands,
right.
Concerning the welfare of his two sons. No matter how it goes, you have to do some things. It wasn't possible to have a peaceable conclusion to that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the man that replied, of course, he wanted his two sons. He's a pedophile. He's a homosexual. And all he wanted was an opportunity to get at those two boys. That father, being a protector, a provider, trying to seek a babysitter where he could work, fell into that kind of dilemma. It happens. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. You know, I don't want enemies.
Mm-mm.
But if I do have any enemies, I want them to know I don't want to be their enemy. I want them to know if they're my enemy, it's because they want to be my enemy, not because I made them my enemy. God says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. I'm going to try my best to make peace with him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Let me give you an example of that. I used to work with a lady, and she was bipolar. And she wanted to be my enemy. I didn't want her for my enemy. She was my trainer, teaching me the aspects of my job. And it was really hard to work with her. She kept accusing me of everything. One thing she accused me of was talking about her. And I said, I didn't talk about you. I said, we was talking about work and about things pertaining to this job. She said, I know y'all was talking about me. I said, no, I wasn't. But some people, it's hard to live peacefully with them.
Yeah.
Some people, it's hard to occupy the same place with them. She ended up quitting. I hate to say it, but I'm kind of glad she did. But they ended up moving me before she quit somewhere else. And she tried every way in the world to get me in trouble. I couldn't help it. But I didn't want. I kept doing what this says. I kept returning good for her evil. And the Bible tells us, verse 20, for in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. I did give her good in return for the evil she gave me. I never did ever charge her of doing what she did. I just looked over it. I just kind of let it run off my back like water off a duck's back. But in verse 21 of Romans chapter 12, be not overcome of evil. I could have made an issue out of this. I could have made trouble for myself out of this, but I didn't. But it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I just kept doing my job. I kept my mind on what I was there for, to work, provide for my family, not to have a quarrel. A lot of people, they just can't take it.
Right.
My son just quit his job against my will, and my opinion, made a foolish mistake, but he couldn't take it. And you know, his strength is small if you can't take it. The Bible talks about thy strength is small indeed if you can't take a little criticism, if you can't take a little disagreement or something, you know, don't go your way, you ought to be able to soil that and go on.
Right.
Some people just can't take it. Well, anyway, let's get back over here to Proverbs chapter 3. Strive not with a man without cause. It's hard to work in the workplace, I admit that.
Mm-hmm.
If he have done thee no harm. You have to put up with what I call a lot of drama and hype. Some people, they've got multiple personalities. You have to figure out what they are each day they come to work. I never seen that like some of the things in the workplace. But verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Some people think that's the way to get ahead.
Yeah.
And they'll compromise what they've been taught.
That's it.
What they know to be true. And they'll think, I've got to do it to get ahead. A sad commentary on this. One of the things that's promoting the gay lifestyle and the gay agenda is people think, if I do that, I can get ahead. I just saw where Taylor Swift has kind of compromised, and she's kind of leaning toward the Rainbow Coalition and the gay agenda, and she's trying to get political and all of that. It's sad in my heart, because I saw a young girl, she stayed neutral. I had a lot of respect for her. I don't anymore, and I'll be honest with you, I'm concerned about how this is going to all end up, but she's like one of many. I told you I filled out an application one time, and on that application, it solicited gay and lesbian people. It said, which sex best describes you? Are you married or do you have a significant other? What's that got to do with a job application? And, you know, that's why I say some people think that's the only way they can get ahead is by succumbing to these oppressors. I wish I could bring it out in a way that it'd be clear as it is, but it's kind of muddied up a little bit. They're stealth. They creep in.
Yeah.
They don't want to be found out what's really going on. But they think that you can get ahead if you'll just compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. I've seen a lot of people become bullies because they were bullied. I worked with one. And you know, that's not the right way. God has the right way. Verse 32, for the forward is an abomination to the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things that are abomination to the Lord.
Yeah.
But being forward, that means like proud, loud, aggressive. God says the meek, come on in. God says the meek shall inhabit the earth.
Watch your step, man.
And all right, praise the Lord, Sister Sharon. The meek shall inhabit the earth. And the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
He's gonna like it.
You got it there, young man?
Yeah,
he's gonna.
All right. Sit down right there, Greg.
Good to have you.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. We're trying to fill this little church. Hallelujah.
I'm good, good.
Say your name's Greg?
Greg White.
All right, good to meet you. Good to have you. Hallelujah.
You are, brother.
We wasn't expecting visitors, but we always welcome. We're always glad to see them. Amen.
Amen.
We're teaching Sunday school right now. We're just teaching off the cup, verse by verse, precept upon precept, line upon line here, a little and there a little. But we're in Proverbs chapter 3, and the Bible says the forward is an abomination to the Lord. God, he resists the proud. He exalts the humble. A meek spirit God honors. And a prideful spirit God shuns. His secret, the Bible says here in verse 32, but his secret is with the righteous. God wants everybody to live right, wants everybody to do right, everybody ain't going to. but God wants them to. Verse 33, and this is really probably the climax of this chapter 3. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. And a lot of people don't understand why they're having so much trouble, and yet God tells them right there that they're just reaping what they're sowing. Isaiah 48 tells us this. There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Isaiah 48, verse 22. And the wicked, they don't have no peace. They blame everybody but themselves that they don't have no peace. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, the Lord's far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. And also it talks about the way of transgressors is hard. And they don't understand why everything's so hard. They say, no matter what I do, I just can't get ahead. And I was looking for that. I couldn't find it. But the curse of God is in the house of the wicked. I don't want the curse. I want the blessing. Amen. I don't know about you all, but I'm allergic to curses. I'd rather have the blessing. But God does pronounce curses. He told Abraham, He said, I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless those that bless you.
Yeah.
And God wasn't, He wasn't just throwing words out there. He meant everything He said there. Verse 34, He said, surely. Well, let's finish verse 33. I don't think I finished verse 33.
No, you didn't.
But He blesseth the habitation of the just. You know, you don't have to have everything. But I want to tell you this. If you got the Lord, you got everything you need. Somebody said nothing plus God is everything you need. One plus God is a majority.
Right.
Makes a difference.
That's right.
It really does.
Yours and Jerry's name.
I look at things in life without God as being impossible. And God tells me things are impossible. Men are possible with God. God says He's a very present help in time of trouble. God says, I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you.
That's right.
God says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I see all of the positive promises of God that are exceedingly promised to us. I don't worry about nothing.
No.
Man, I'll tell you right now. I'll just say, Lord, I need your help. Going through another day. God said, I'm going to bless your home. I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless you throughout this day. He says that He blesses the habitation of the just. How can I be just, Brother Eddie?
Sure.
Just be saved. That'll do it. Surely, He scorneth the scorners. You know, a lot of people, they're what I call kind of witty. They'll cut you with words. You know, the Bible says the power of life and death in the tongue.
Yeah.
There's some people that can cut you to the quick with words. You don't want to get in a word fight with some people. Not only are they critical, but they just don't hold nothing back, and they'll cut you with words. They'll hurt you with words. I remember hearing about a father come home from work, and he had a terrible day at work. And when he come home from work, his little girl met him at the door to give him a hug, and he took out all his frustrations of that day upon his little girl. And it was too much for her, and she went and jumped off of an overpass onto oncoming traffic, and it took her life. But the lady that driving the car that the young girl fell on, she said, I'll never forget that as long as I live, that little girl jumping off that overpass, falling down the hood of my car. That's why I say, boy, you choose your words carefully. The Bible talks about the tongue being an unruly member, and it boasts of great things. But God scorns the scorners. A lot of scorners, they scoff at God, mock at God, and I'll tell you right now, God scorns them. He's going to have the final say. You know, they might get by down here being wealthy. They might get by down here being famous, Hollywood actors and stuff like that. They might get by down here. I mean, we just had Jeffrey. Can't think of his last name now. Got that hung himself there in jail there.
Yeah.
I can't think of his last name.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had all kind of money. They said he was worth something like $700 million. Had islands, had mansions, had all kind of worldly possessions. But I'll tell you what, buddy, one thing he didn't have. His death speaks volumes about the fact of what I'm saying here. He was a lover of pleasure, more lovers of God. And there come a day he had to die. And on that day when you die, you realize just how poverty stricken you are if you don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
God talked about a rich man there in Luke chapter 12. In verse 20, he summed it all up and he said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Who shall those belongings you got, you know, those riches, that plentiful that he had, who shall that belong to?" He had to leave it behind. He couldn't take it with him. And God scorns the scorner, but he gives grace to the lowly. I'm glad God's for the lowly, the poor, the humble. I'm glad he is.
Right.
God says there, he says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" I want to get that right there in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. God gives grace to the humble. He wants to give grace to all.
Yes.
Scorners. God can't give grace to the scorners because they're conceited. In their eye, they're right and you're wrong. In their eye, they're right, God's wrong. Let me spend a little while here. Bible said the fool said in his heart there is no God. Psalms 14, verse 1. Psalms 53, verse 1. I was one of those fools for a while growing up. I'm glad my eyes have been opened. I'm glad God saves fools, because I was a fool. But I'm glad, praise God, He didn't make it hard. He made it easy, Karen. All I had to do was come to Him. Hey, Brother Dallas. All I had to do was come to Him and let Him know that I needed help and let Him know that I needed to be saved. And God saves fools just like me. Biggest fool in Barron County. And I'm glad God didn't leave me a fool, but God saves fools.
Right.
And you know, I ain't a fool now. Somebody talking about a little boy had a litter of kittens. And this guy was a preacher, and he come by and he said, "Young boy, what kind of kittens are them?" And he told that preacher that these young kittens were of his denomination. And he said, "You hang on there, I'm going to get my friend." And he went and got his preacher friend, and he said, "I want you to meet this little boy." He said, "Tell him what kind of kittens them are." And he said, "Well, them's Baptist kittens." And he said, "The other day you said they're so-and-so kittens." He said, "Yeah, that's why they got their eyes open." I'm glad that, you know, my eyes have been open. I was a fool. That's what I'm trying to say. But God saves fools. He opened my eyes.
Yeah.
I can see now the love of God. I can see now the mercy of God. I can see now the love and mercy that He extended to me. I'm glad that the Bible talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God's long-suffering to us, not willing that any perish, but all come repentance. Somebody said, "Why hadn't God come yet?" I'll tell you why He hadn't come yet. There's still people lost going to hell. He's waiting for them to come to repentance. The Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. God's so good. He's kind to the unthankful, causes it to rain on the just and the unjust.
Right.
Amen.
People ought to repent just because of the goodness of God. They don't, but they should. I can't really say much more than that because I was just like them. But God scorns the scorners, but He gives grace to the lowly. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. I've seen a lot of people, boy, reaping what they sowed.
That's right.
I've seen a lot of people, buddy, that, you know, they were greedy of gain and they robbed somebody or killed somebody to get their wealth and they couldn't enjoy it. You remember Cain killed his brother Abel. God confronted him about it.
Yeah.
And he said, "Where's your brother Abel?" He kind of, he kind of scoffed. "Am I my brother's keeper?" But God told him his brother's blood cried out to him from the ground. Now God didn't do that much to Cain, but I'll tell you one thing He did. He gave Cain a guilty conscience.
Yes, He did.
You know what Cain said about that guilty conscience? He said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." I remember the day when I had a guilty conscience.
Right.
I remember the day God took care of it too. I'm glad there ain't no condemnation
for
them in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I got peace abiding in my soul.
Right.
But I will tell you this, for 34 years I had a guilty conscience. I have done things that I wondered, God, could you forgive me of those things? And man, it wasn't no problem at all for God to forgive me. But I didn't know that, Don, until I asked Him to forgive me. I still remember April 27, 1988, when an old drunk, a fool named Eddie Wade, called upon the Lord, got a refuge for his soul. But I didn't know that until God saved me. I didn't know that peace of God that passeth understanding till it come down in my bosom.
Right.
I didn't know that joy unspeakable that God gives people that are saved until I got saved.
Right.
But the people of the world that are lost, they scorn, they make fun, them goody two-shoes. I remember I was at a funeral one time, and a guy I grew up with, I asked him if he'd been saved, and sarcastically he said, "Yeah, but I ain't like you." He said, "I can't live it." That bothered me, what he said. He didn't live very long after that. He died not too long after that statement. But you know, that scorn, that sarcasm. No. He said, "Yeah, I'm saved, but not like you. I can't live it." That you know, that wasn't joy unspeakable. That wasn't really very well said. It was kind of like a scoff, a sarcasm. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I can't live it neither. Christ living in me, the hope of glory.
That's right.
Somebody said you can't live it. I'll tell you what you do. You get right with God, you get saved, you'll find that it's easy.
Amen. That's right.
Because He's the good shepherd, loves His sheep. He tends to His sheep. But anyway, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just. We're going to finish this chapter up real quick. Surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools.
Yes.
I'll just tell you this, buddy. God ain't got a lot of good to say about fools. He really don't. And like I said, I used to be one. I'm glad I'm not one now. But we'll stop our Sunday school lesson right there. We got a bunch of visitors here today, and I'm looking forward to meeting them. Amen.